New Japan Pro Wrestling is so back! Are you out of the loop? You want to know what's happening before the rest of the Yankoid imbeciles? Want to find out who be the top guys in AEW in 2028?
Then listen to the Super J-Cast, premier authority of New Japan Pro Wrestling, that keeps Chris Charlton up at night.
We cover New Japan at every level, in the ring, the backstage politics, the cross-promotional drama, the history, and what it all means for the future, the good, the bad, and the great Okan.
And no company glazing PR here, no move-by-move recaps. Just brutally honest analysis, unrivaled contacts inside the company that put the rest of the wrestling journalists to shame, and quite frankly, irritating track records of being right before everyone else.
We broke the Okada story. We broke the Forbidden Door story. We've told you what was coming before, and we'll fucking do it again.
Super J-Cast, listen now. Then, in 3 years, pretend you knew it all along.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes, Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins alongside me, as always, as we have been for the last 15 consecutive years, without a break. We are ready to talk a little bit of WWE SummerSlam. We might get to some AEW. We will most likely do a full breakdown of this week's TNA Impact and much more. But I wanted to start with breaking news. There's breaking news, Jeff Hawkins. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes segment. Added to WWE SmackDown. Who would have fucking thought?
Actually, SmackDown Friday was pretty good with the with some of the segments on there, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting to SummerSlam. I mean, I always like when the shows have progression towards something, because you're going to get most likely some type of newsworthy segment. Or if you're WWE Raw, you're going to get the most cringeworthy segment we've had in maybe years.
That Raw, half of that stuff had nothing to do with the show Saturday. It was almost like I was watching an AEW go home from time to time. It's like, why are we not building stuff for the weekend? And I'm watching Joe Hendry and Danhausen do possibly the most cringe segment I've seen.
It was pretty. Now, that segment did build to something on this weekend, because it is Dom versus Danhausen.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
But yeah, Joe Hendry went from, you know, feuding with the Vision to where I guess that's over. That's just over with. He's no longer mad at Jake Paul or Logan Paul or any of the Paul brothers or Paul White or anyone else. He's no longer mad at the Pauls. He's no longer mad at the Vision. The Vision doesn't seem to care about him, because they got their own things going on, which I guess they have Otis and Tozawa. You know, is that a feud per se? Is that going to end up in a tag team title match? I don't even know. Is that on the card for SummerSlam at all? Because I can't imagine.
No, but I half think that Chad Gable's going to go back to leading them after this Penta match in some way, and maybe even bring back the Creed brothers, or who knows? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, where are the Creed brothers going to be going in? I hope that kind of they get away from Chad Gable. Obviously Chad Gable's a babyface now. Chad Gable's going to do the singles thing. We'll see how far that gets him. Because I mean, the Intercontinental title is basically his thing right now, which is very funny. You turn the guy babyface, you know, he has the losing match. He respects the luchadors, and his very first program is against babyface luchador Penta. Like, I get it. It's for the Intercontinental Championship. But Chad Gable hasn't earned it. Chad Gable's lost. I mean, as El Grande Americano, Chad Gable lost his most recent important match.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve the Intercontinental Championship. I know they've had matches here and there to get to this point, but he doesn't deserve the Intercontinental Championship push. So it's not like, oh, it's two baby faces. Yeah, but we've done it so where they've both been on hot winning streaks and it's like a big clash. No, it's like Chad Gable got done fighting the luchadors. And now, and again, he can fight luchadors. Like, just because he lost and had respect for luchadors doesn't mean he doesn't have to fight any luchadors. There's a ton of them on the TV show, which is great. But his very first program is against the Ultimo babyface luchador right now in WWE that isn't Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, the one luchador they have that's over on WWE television other than
which is so crazy. I mean, gosh darn it, because look how crazy over Andrade is right now after 2 months on AEW TV or whatever it's been. Maybe it's been a little bit longer. As he's the Intercontinental, Continental, National TV, TBS champion over there on the AEW show.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend too much time on Dynamite.
Right.
But my note from Dynamite is that 2 hour show really overemphasized just how many gosh darn titles there are and how they're freaking overlapping and how they're annoying the shit out of at least me and most likely everybody. Because you got three championships in fighting with the Don Callis family. You got Okada versus Fletcher versus Knight. Knight, who just joined the unit. Talk me off the ledge on AEW Dynamite, because I want to like these shows. I want to watch Omega versus Ospreay. Hopefully Ospreay is finally over this, you know, Jon Moxley stuff right now for at least the next month. But Jesus. Dynamite,
I can't, because they gave title shots to three guys who lost another title on Sunday. And at least one of them in Commander got a promotion to go after a more prestigious title, I think, on that, which was a match that was a total waste of time because it didn't further anything about anything. It was just a match with a 34-minute overrun. I can't. I get your complaints, but if I was going to start a fight with the intended audience of AEW, which I've been now known to do, because I think I just did it about a half hour ago accidentally on the Figure Four board, they just want good wrestling, and they don't care about this stuff.
Well, you're going to get shitty television shows and a few good matches. I mean, the opener with Andrade was great. You're going to get Omega Will Ospreay. You're going to get dream matches. That's for sure. You're going to get them. But you're going to get shitty TV in between.
Okay, let me do this one point on AEW Dynamite about the Ospreay-Omega match. Because my general vision of AEW from day one was all people wanted was to root for a babyface Young Bucks and a babyface Omega as your champions, because they wanted the company to crown the best wrestlers as the champions. And now we're doing a quickly kind of semi-turned Kenny Omega with Will Ospreay saying things like, I'm glad I joined the Death Riders.
He had fun. He liked it.
When all the sickos want.
He liked the training. He can't find any training partners, man. He liked them.
But all the sickos ever wanted out of this feud was best versus best, and this is the one time to do it. This is the one feud that doesn't need heat. It's let the crowd fight each other over who's the best, and this is awesome, and both these guys, and whatever, and this is their chance to finally get that part of their fandom out of the system, and we've decided to make both of them jerks in a way.
I feel like AEW's on the trajectory, and they have, you know, some time to do what WWE kind of did with Reigns and Punk leading into WrestleMania. Is there was so much time, they're going to write some bullshit and just get people to not be as interested in that match. And that's a little bit about what's happening over the last 3 weeks, is because Omega has been doing the side thing with the Death Riders, Ospreay has been doing the side thing with the Death Riders. You know, MJF has been involved. There's been all this stuff going on the side here that it's like, can we just kind of focus on the one thing sometimes? And not because, like, I'm simple minded. I can't handle all this side stuff going on. No, because you're not focused. Like, if you're trying to build up this match that people want to see, why is Ospreay versus Moxley the angle you're running?
Thank you, Rob. It was like they got rid of the Death Rider thing finally. And then they had to keep it around a bit. It's like, no, they want Ospreay for, and the thing is, Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio today said, this is complex storytelling. And I know that some fans, I'm with you. I'm like, no, it's badly planned storytelling.
When Walter White was selling meth, his focus was cooking and selling the meth. Yeah. There were other characters involved. Mm-hmm. Other characters interacting with each other. But you know who your main protagonist was worried about? He was worried about cooking and selling meth. And his backstory was he had cancer and was going to die. and needed money for his family.
Yes.
That never changed.
Right.
Ospreay is like, well, I want to find training partners. I'm really bummed I can't train with my guys no more. What are you training for, Ospreay? The fucking big title match you got coming up? But of course.
And we just had the Will Ospreay can't win the big one story before, when he was so afraid to use the Tiger Driver 91. And then he finally got over his fears of breaking somebody's neck with it and used it in a big match.
When was the last time, outside of during a match on a hear off move where Ospreay's selling like one move because they mention it for a second and then it's forgotten again?
Mm-hmm.
Will Ospreay was out for months.
Yes.
With a serious neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he's climbed the mountain back to get this title shot in London.
Mm-hmm.
No less. That part of the story seemingly isn't involved here. Like, this is just Death Riders, Kenny Omega being a tweener, Will Ospreay kind of being a tweener.
Yes.
And no, this is Will Ospreay, your big time star from last year and or 2 years ago or whenever, that finally is back at the top of the mountain. Can you imagine when Triple H came back from the quad, if they just mentioned it one time and then he was just winning every match easily? And I mean, what the hell's going on here? Steve Austin broke his neck and just, you know what? It's no road back for me. I'm just going to win every single match and fight with fucking whoever, my friend.
This is the coronation build to your quote unquote next big star. And I'm baffled by this, Rob.
But the thing
is
he's the current, he's supposed to be the current big star.
Right.
Because they already had that coordination. He's supposed to be the current big star, and he's coming back from a big-time neck injury, and he's worried about whether he's got his bruvs or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress, because Raw was equally, if not more, shitty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Probably more shitty, because that Andrade match set the tone pretty high. It's hard to come back from that top bar. Now, it was a spot fest, grant you, but it was a fun spot fest, and one that Andrade fucking looked badass in.
Raw was a slog.
No, Raw was stupid. Dynamite had a great three-way to start it. Andrade, well, where I came from all that talk was Penta.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, Penta's kind of getting over. It's taken, you know, a year and a half. He's gotten to the point he is. And then Andrade goes back to AEW, and every time he goes back to AEW, he's like this big star getting big crowd swell reactions pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes to WWE, and it's like, oh, charisma vacuum. And like, maybe there's a problem. Maybe there's a problem on the WWE side with creating stars who aren't John Cena, who aren't Gunther, who aren't, I don't know, insert good-looking white guy, I guess.
You know, it's maybe the 20-minute expository promo isn't the path to all stardom, guys. How about that?
Well, at least we don't have the 20-minute singular promos much anymore. It's not just Triple H coming in the ring to start the show and talking, you know, straight. At least there's usually two or three people, sometimes five or six people.
Yes, now nobody can finish a promo. I want to tell you about, and then somebody's music hits, and they come out, just like, all right.
Finishing a promo is overrated, and you should know that by now. But yeah, Raw had one of the cringier segments of all time with the singing. I mean, I think it went on for a minute and a half of just singing I Believe That You Are Cursed with Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry is now back involved with Dominic and JD McDonagh. Maybe we'll get a... SummerSlam's this weekend, so I don't know what else you're going to do with Joe Hendry. Maybe you add a Joe Hendry, JD McDonagh match at some point. Maybe this is a tag team match for a Raw. Maybe we're not done with Danhausen and Dom, even though we should be, because at SummerSlam now, they are going to wrestle in a Human Money's on a Pole match. Jeff Hawkins, when you heard the words on a pole come out of Danhausen's mouth, and Adam Pearce was a little surprised, Danhausen said, what, you haven't watched wrestling? Like Danhausen. Closeted late 2000 or early 2000s WCW guy.
Yeah, Judy Bagwell smiling. Although I also thought of Feast or Famine in TNA, because that is on a pole, right?
Well, Feast or Famine was on a pole too. There was a lot of pole matches. I mean, the Vince Russo era of wrestling, a lot of pole matches, and that's, you know, 1999 to 2006, 2007, maybe a little bit later.
Early stage Shake Them Ropes fan from your drop of how much you liked poles.
I've grown and matured. I am no longer into poles that much. I could keep the poles out of my professional wrestling. Keep them off of my TV. But here we are. We're going to have one on SummerSlam, which is fine. I mean, it's not like they're going to the pole well every single month, so it's okay.
If you're going to talk about the match, is the punchline here, like at some point Danhausen's going to yell Joe Hendry and he's going to appear and distract from somebody climbing a pole or something?
Joe Hendry's going to be involved, and you better be a little bit more careful about what he does, because you can really run these concerts in the Danhausen. You asked me last week, was Danhausen overexposed? And I said, no, he's been on TV the perfect amount for what he's doing. And on Raw, time-wise, he was on TV for the perfect amount of what he's doing at SummerSlam. The problem is what he was doing while he was on TV.
Yes, it was almost like, oh, we'll take that bet, Mr. Hawkins and Mr. McCarron.
I mean, it was... I think the merger, it was a good idea in theory of like, okay, Joe Hendry concert, Danhausen, make it goofy. But the thing is, Joe Hendry is crisp when he does these concerts. It's thrown off a little bit when you have awkward Danhausen, like looking all to the side, and then they had... You know, they had the different Danhausen dancers on the aisle, seemingly just there. Danhausen's looking at him and staring while the camera's not panning to him. And he's like, are they coming now? It's almost like they went one stanza too long, because Danhausen's like, what are we doing here? This is too awkward even for me.
Have you seen the Danhausen van?
I don't think so. Am I supposed to have?
ESPN has a Danhausen van.
A Dan
and
van?
And it looks... Yeah, and it or a truck, and it looks like it has his giant head, almost like the Lex Express kind of a thing.
Okay.
Well. And this is quickly turning into the Spaceballs merchandising joke. Danhausen,
well, the
breakfast
cereal. We have Spaceball 2 is coming back.
Yes.
So, I mean, if there's perfect time, I don't know. Who does Spaceballs? What studio does Spaceballs? Let's see. This is very important to the story. Spaceball.
I think Warner Brothers.
Well, then that probably isn't going to do well. Yeah, that's probably not going to have a WWE tie-in then.
No.
Distributed by MGM, production company. Oh. MGM.
That's going to be Amazon then.
Okay, well, the one service that doesn't have any WWE programming. Okay, so we're probably not going to get some type of Danhausen tie-in with Spaceballs, but of all the movies to come out, that could be one as well. Any other notes from Raw that you wanted to get into before we preview WWE SummerSlam?
Absolutely not.
No. I mean, I thought Solo. I mean, people are coming around on Solo. This is hey, it's a take that I had 2 years ago on this very show.
Yes.
Solo Sikoa had the potential, and thankfully he's a little younger. You know, Solo Sikoa ain't 35 yet, right?
I don't think so, but if you had told me that guy had that much natural charisma when he was playing the strong, silent type on NXT and when he was first brought up, I would have bet you human monies that you were wrong.
Are you kidding? How? Solo Sikoa was showing glimpses of it, man, when he would do the laughing at the, you know, he would break a little bit and then he would go back into. Solo Sikoa has been showing this since day one on WWE TV. NXT run was a little weird for me. Because he was kind of the baby face. He was kind of up there. He was the heelish. He was trying to be somebody, but he showed glimpses. Solo Sikoa was born in what, 1993? Okay, so he's 33 years old. Perfect. He's got another 15 years in him to be a top guy in WWE. This guy, people are starting to turn around to the corner that I paved, basically.
Yes, you paved the way for the bandwagon to drive onto.
I mean, it was me. Jeff Hawkins, it was Robert McCarron that said, you know what? There's some talent in this bloodline. And I think Solo Sikoa's got some of it. Mm. That was all me.
Yeah.
So bow down to your master. That's DX. That's just the
speaking of which, did you see the Foley segment from the pay-per-view this past Sunday at all? I doubt you did.
TikTok clips of him barking like a dog.
Yes, the bow wow.
I'm just glad he left the company so he can go get respect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just glad. I'm just glad he finally found some respect, you know, and a company that respects his talents.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how much we're going to see of him. He seems like he's going to be like a pay-per-view kind of backstage special attraction, but not on Dynamite anymore, probably. Right.
I would figure as much, unless they're going to do that whole thing. Like when he was GM on Raw and doing the wacky, hey, I've set my office here in the middle of the hall with a table and a gavel. Aren't I wacky?
Which also isn't that crazy.
No, it's not. Cause that's well within the Bucks wheelhouse.
But that was 25 years ago, more, about 25, if not more years ago, that he was the GM the commissioner. He was the commissioner of WWE when they had commissioners. And now the GMs act like commissioners more than ever. But SummerSlam, let's get into SummerSlam. What night is the Danhausen match on? Oh, darn it. It's on night two. So night we have two. To wait. We have to wait to talk about that one even more. Talk about the praise that that segment received. I asked you last week, what is going to be the main event? Right now, something weird is happening, Jeff, because I don't know if the first hour of this show is going to be on any ESPN main channel, ESPN1 or ESPN2. I think this entire show is going to exclusively take place on ESPN Unlimited, so there won't be a first hour. We might actually have a traditional order of matches with a Hell in a Cell late and a CM Punk match late, possibly on this one. But what would you say between the Hell in a Cell and the CM Punk Cody Rhodes match? I assume it's going to be one of those two matches as the main event. What is the main event of night one of SummerSlam?
I think it's Punk Rhodes.
Punk Rhodes, because it's the title match, right? Because otherwise, Brock Oba.
I also think there's going to be an angle coming out of Punk Rhodes. So I think that's going to be more important.
An angle. Okay, well, we'll get to that one here in a second. If you can yell at me, or maybe by the time this is done recording, ESPN will announce. But right now, yeah, SummerSlam, ESPN first hour, I don't think is happening this year. Sports Illustrated came out with a story saying why ESPN won't air the first hour of WWE SummerSlam for free. Why WWE is dropping free PLE content on ESPN. Okay, so it does not look like this will be on ESPN. It will only be on ESPN Unlimited. So you have to have the app, or you have to have a VPN with Netflix to see this show. I have good news on this front also, Jeff. Breaking news, if you will.
All right.
ESPN Unlimited is finally available for YouTube TV customers. So I will actually get, this will be my first PLE as a regular subscriber, or at least to have access to ESPN Unlimited. So I will watch SummerSlam on the actual ESPN app. I don't have to get the VPN out and the Netflix and worry about buffering and all these different things. I'm finally going to get to watch this show, probably on a delay, on the actual service intended. So hooray for commercials, I guess.
I'm very excited because there's only one night of this I want to watch, and it's all, and everything I want to watch on is on night one. So I'm
really
happy about that. Yes.
I mean, I think one of the better matches of the show, at least with heat and whatnot, is going to be Reigns and Seth, even though they've done a really weird buildup.
Yes.
I want to see Reigns and Seth. I wouldn't be shocked if Seth Rollins wins the title, even though I think there's still a lot of juice on the bone and bloodline story, but we're not getting to night two yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to night one. So if that is your main event, Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk, CM Punk going in as the champion, what is your opener? Are you opening with Hell in the Cell or something else on the card?
So there's no ESPN.
No ESPN. It changes everything, right?
Yeah, it does.
It changes it all.
I think we open with Liv and Io.
Okay, that's a good pick. I could, if you're going backstage influence, I could also see opening with Brock so he can clean up and get the hell out of there.
That is, yeah, because Brock loves to keep the plane running. He's not here for a good time or long time. He's here for a good time.
But I do think that match will play better in a little bit of a darker atmosphere. This is an outdoor show.
Yes.
It's starting at 7 p.m. Central.
Yeah, but that's not outdoor. That stadium is indoor.
Oh, it's not? It is indoor? Oh.
Yeah, it's a dome.
I thought it had a roof or a dome.
It has a roof with like windows in it because I went there for the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, it's okay, but it's so not it's, yeah.
All right. And either way, it's starting at like, I think the show actually starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, so it's starting at 5 p.m. Central time. This show, I mean, it'll still be light when the main event goes off probably. So,
right.
I guess I'm not worried about the ambiance there. But I actually don't believe that the opener is going to be the Hell in a Cell match, even though it would not shock me in the least to have that open up this show. I think our opener is going to be the six-man tag. I think it's going to be LA Knight.
That was my second pick.
Solo and Royce.
So yeah. Yeah.
I'm going with this. If only for the fact that it also was on, was it the opener of WrestleMania? I think it was pretty early on, the six-man tag with LA Knight, and it was on ESPN at that moment. But
yes, I think it was actually the pre-show of, or quote unquote, it was on the free first hour. Of
right.
ESPN.
It was on the free first hour. And I think it might've been even the opener. If not, it was the next, the next match with I Show Speed and whatnot, but it wasn't that first one. I'm going six man opening this up. I think you save Liv and EO for a little bit later. I think that one's going before the main event, especially if the Hell in the Cell opens the show. But I do believe Liv and EO is going to go a little bit later on there. Although it would be a hot opener. If you want to pick any of these matches and you want to go like really hot opener, Liv EO probably is it.
Yeah.
So let's do that Liv Morgan EO Sky for the World Championship. You said there might be shenanigans in the main event on this show. Will there be shenanigans in this one or potentially a return coming afterwards?
Yeah, I think with Raquel winning her title and with, you know, I mean, it's going to be the usual Judgment Day stuff. And I think EO overcomes. I think EO's winning this. And I think you do get Rhea Ripley to help her. And then you set that match up where they both have the titles and they're kind of looking at each other. Or no, you can't because they're doing the interim the next night. So no Rhea.
No Rhea, but
EO overcomes and wins the title.
And Rhea wasn't even the one that I was thinking of on this show.
Oh, were you thinking Stephanie?
Stephanie Vaquer.
Okay, now, well, yeah.
Stephanie Vaquer has unfinished business with Liv Morgan. So Stephanie Vaquer shows up if Liv Morgan wins.
Yeah.
If EO wins, I don't think Stephanie Vaquer is showing up afterwards because, you know, outside of the title, you know, getting her title back would be a reason to go with EO. But I still think there's a little meat on the bone with Liv and Stephanie. So I could see EO Sky winning this title. Maybe Stephanie coming back the next night on Raw and we have a number one contendership match.
There you go.
With Liv and Stephanie Vaquer to see who goes on with EO Sky. And there's always the Rhea Ripley thing hanging up over there too. And Rhea Ripley may even switch brands. I mean, there's right now, there's no draft. There's no signing contracts outside of free agents. It's like, if you want to be on the other show, you can be on the other show as long as you're just regularly on that other show. It's almost like I called my spot. I want to be on SmackDown this week. That means I'm on SmackDown forever now. So Liv Morgan, EO Sky, potentially your opener, your other potential opener, LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Royce Keyes against the bloodline of Jacob Fatu, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso. Six-man tags on both nights of the show as we have actually six-man tags twice on this very show.
Yes.
Because there's a women's six-man tag as well as the men's six-man tag. Now, I wonder if one of those is going to open just so you can spread out these six-mans a little bit more. There's another reason why I think this LA Knight match might open the show. LA Knight's been getting really good, solid crowd reaction. Solo Sikoa moving up in that picture there, potentially a challenger for Roman Reigns coming up in the coming months to kind of get you to Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Royce Keyes building him up. This will be the first real test on a main stage for Royce Keyes as well. Because the Royal Rumble, it was his debut. I don't really see it as a test on the main stage. The test on the main stage will be this six-man tag. I think Royce Keyes is going to come in for big power move, you know, big spurts. You know, don't keep him into the ring. Don't have him selling against the heels. Royce Keyes should be on the outside for 95% of this match and come in, do some big moves, maybe even get the win. But what do you say here about the six-man tag? LA Knight, Solo, Royce against the bloodline.
I think Royce gets the pin over Jimmy Uso.
Against Jimmy? Is Jimmy kind of, he's the new Japan, you know, put me in a multi-man and let me take the fall guy? This is basically
his role. Yeah, although I didn't originally think that when I started talking. I thought, oh, Royce gets the pin over Jacob Fatu, and that becomes a feud.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to go easy here. I think Royce versus Jimmy Uso, LA Knight gets a win, Solo, those two, you know, get a little bit elevated into this feud, and we continue to see what happens at War Games.
Yeah, because the bloodline has been different. This iteration of the bloodline is, you know, again, even though they're supposed to be all even, this has been the Roman Reigns show, and the other three are kind of not knuckleheads per se, but they're definitely on the backdrop, and they are not, like, this is not the super dominant bloodline. This is Roman Reigns with his cousins.
Yeah, this is Roman, two red shirts, and the Usos and Fatu being kind of held back because they see something in him.
Exactly. And that, and adding to the story of Jacob being held back and going nuts eventually is, yeah, his family's going to lose this match. You're going to put the up on Knight, Solo, and Royce. I agree. They are going to get the win on this one. An exciting match. This is the WWE debut of Nick Aldis. Wikipedia having some fun putting Gunther versus Magnus on the old card. But this is Gunther versus Nick Aldis and Nick Aldis's WWE debut. One of the youngest superstars on this show, Nick Aldis, coming in at a nice spry 39 years old. Gunther and Nick Aldis. Is it any way possible Nick Aldis wins his debut?
There's a 10% chance, but I don't think so. And yeah, I think again, I am here to hear the audience. I've never seen him before. Let's see how he does. He's kind of a WWE style wrestler, so I think there's a chance he might get over in this match too.
He's super WWE style. Gunther only has bangers. I mean, he's the new Sheamus, where you put him in with anybody and it's going to be really, really good. And there's story here. I think there's heat. I would like to see this kind of go on, you know, not in a death spot, not after a Hell in the Cell, before the main event. I really hope they give this one or two, because Gunther versus Nick Aldis can be kind of fun. I also don't see it going super long. I think Gunther's going to get the win here. I think it's going to be in 6 or 7 minutes. I don't think Nick Aldis is getting his comeuppance at the end of the night, but he is going to get the first 2 minutes hot, where he's just coming out as a house of fire. Yeah. And then Gunther, you know, does his thing and we'll see what happens. Is Nick Aldis going to return as GM? Is Nick Aldis potentially going to be a wrestler? Does he have to go to NXT after this match to wrestle because he's not WWE ready? Like, what are we going to see here post-match?
Well, as part of the segment on SmackDown, he gave up being general manager.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, but then Triple H decides the next night, hey, by the way, I need a GM. How about you?
Yeah, but that could also be for a second match. That could be a stipulation possibly later. Like, if I win this match, I can go back to be GM or whatever.
Yeah, no, there can be. So you don't think this is one and done for Gunther versus Nick?
No, I do, and I'll tell you why when a little bit later.
A little bit later. Ooh, a tease.
Yes.
For something else being involved here.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is one and done for Nick Aldis and Gunther myself.
Yes, I do.
But I don't see it as a one and done for Nick Aldis.
Neither
as a WWE wrestler. Even though, again, SmackDown's 2 hours, it's not like they have a ton of time for a bunch of talents. But I do expect this to be fun, but it is probably going to be on the shorter side of the matches on this show. I would hope they give the six-man tags some time just because of how many people are involved. But based on what happened at WrestleMania, I could be very wrong. Because I think that LA Knight six-man tag at WrestleMania was very quick.
Yeah, well, I think the women are going in the death spot.
So the women in the death spot, the women being Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, and Paige, against the Fatal Influence, JC Fallon and Lainey. Okay, so we have a six-woman tag team match here. The Bellas losing their tag team titles. You got Paige involved here. I don't really know who the workhorse of the women's team is going to be in this match.
I guess
Brie. Like, Brie's probably the most sympathetic babyface to get in there and take like a beating for a few minutes. But if this goes more than 6 minutes, I actually will be a little surprised.
Yeah, by the way, props to Lainey Reid, who has really just improved on this. I mean, she was brought up quickly when this group got brought in.
So quickly that she doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Correct. Now, everybody's been saying that the Bellas are going to turn on Paige eventually. And
everybody's been saying that, huh?
Natural.
You've been saying that since Paige debuted.
Yes, I know, but now it's kind of oddly situated, because the whole point of this Nikki and Brie being brought back is so that they can win the tag team titles. Now, Fatal Influence could lose those titles to somebody else, and then the Bellas beat the baby faces for them and screw them. I could see Paige becoming the manager for Fatal Influence here, and the Bellas getting screwed, and then eventually the Bellas win a ceremonial tag team title run from Fatal Influence.
Because the Paige babyface run so far since she's come back has not been anything.
No.
And this happened when she came back from her injury at the tail end of her run in WWE, where she was a babyface right away and then quickly a heel. I could very well see Paige kind of turning on this, and now you have the Bellas going for the tag team titles. So
yes.
I think that's a good call out.
Okay.
So who wins this match then? We assume it's
Fatal Influence, and then Paige, like, you know, Paige, you know, hits Brie and she gets pinned or something.
All right. The Hell in the Cell match, Obafemi, Brock Lesnar. This is the rubber match. We are 1-1. Obafemi is looking in, oh my God, 1998 WWE shape. Like, this guy has gotten chiseled in the last month.
Yeah.
Like, it has not been a long process for Obafemi to really put the work in. He's going in there with Brock Lesnar, where it's just the two. This is your Hoss match. This is your two big men slapping meat, power bombing and throwing each other in a cage. In a cage where Paul Heyman can't be involved inside. How do you see Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar going?
You might get two hose me's for Ooh. That night between Gunther and Aldis being like Gunther just killing him with chops, and then this meat match. Oh.
A meat match and poles on the same weekend? Wow.
Obafemi should win this, and if there's any other ending other than that, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Give this to me. Give me the big spot where he drives Brock through the cage like Roman did at Saudi Arabia, please. Give me something like that. I don't think we're climbing to the top of the cell, but if we do, I'm going to be scared to death for somebody.
I could see this one going outside the cell, but there's no climbing that's going to happen.
Yes, no climbing this time. Unless it's that Dolph Ziggler version where he goes up and then falls back through the table.
No,
maybe Oba would do that, but I don't see Brock doing that.
There's no need for either of these two guys to climb the cell, but I do see them going outside, finding a way, someone ripping a lock off the door, someone going through the door, Paul Heyman doing some fuckery outside to get that door open. I do see it going a lot of which way, to the point where 20% of this match might be outside the cage, maybe even more.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they can have a big, you know, just the two of them throwing each other around for a while. Do you think we're going to get kickouts of 3 to 4 F5s?
Yes, we're going to get an Oba roar after like 2 F5s in a row, or just a quick stand up. We're going to get a few non-sell moves. I think both guys no-sell the other guy's big move at one point.
What I really hope happens too, because this should be your throning of Obafemi.
Yes.
Slaying the Beast, finally. What I don't want to happen is I don't want Brock Lesnar to have a post-match moment like he did at WrestleMania because it wouldn't fit.
No sympathy, please.
I don't want him to be in the ring there and the crowd cheering for him and, you know, taking the boots off again. I don't want to see, you know, I want Obafemi to be the last one in that ring before they go to commercial and we don't see anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, Brock Lesnar needs to be quote-unquote dead here. Right. He needs to be down in the ring, slayed to the point where we don't even see him get up, like literally Undertaker at WrestleMania 20, where it's just Obafemi celebrating around him and it's over. Maybe even the cage raises, Brock Lesnar sneaks out while the camera's on Oba. I don't want to see a sympathetic moment. I don't want to see a retirement. He had his moment at WrestleMania.
Agreed.
Yeah, they went back on it, but don't give him the moment again.
I agree.
And then your main event of the show is CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes is coming in as the challenger for this one. The challenger now. I think there's a lot of story for Cody Rhodes to not have the championship here coming out of this match, and still a lot of challengers, whether it be Gunther, whether it be a potential returning superstar on our mind. Jeff Hawkins, how see you going CM Punk, Cody Rhodes?
Were you thinking the returning superstar being Drew?
No. I mean, that could happen too. But I think this might be your place for, I don't know anything about the health of Randy Orton, but if there was a spot for Randy Orton to come back, it would be this big show on SummerSlam to set up his next match with Cody Rhodes.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that. I had not considered Randy Orton. I had not.
Well, you should. I mean, you should always be considering Randy Orton. When you go to the grocery store, Jeff, you should be considering Randy Orton.
Yes, well, that RKO can come out of nowhere, even the cereal aisle.
Come out of nowhere.
No, I was thinking, I don't know. See, I don't know Randy's health. I know Cody has a love of the old school. And I was looking up and down this card.
Almost to a fault.
Yes. But I know that one of those internal goals of Cody Rhodes is to have his Ric Flair run.
Okay. All right, and now we're getting somewhere, but okay, now we're getting somewhere. Go on.
Now on this card are two of Cody Rhodes' buddies, Royce Keyes and Nick Aldis.
Okay, but they're baby faces right now.
Well, yes, but Royce will have won in kind of quiet way, and Magnus will have lost and gone away, and we'll be going, well, what is he going to do? And you also have a certain Ricky Starks Ricky Saints who is out there if you want. So I am thinking some combination of that, and Cody Rhodes finally gets his horseman in some way. He doesn't win this match, but there will be a post-match beatdown with some unusual bedfellows for CM Punk to have to align with, possibly.
But also, Jeff Hawkins, there's a GD cage in this building this night.
Yes.
What about that cage lowering a little bit?
Okay.
As this beatdown commences, and now you're just leaving the bloody baby faces in a cage. As we head, we're just 3 months away
War Games.
From a little War Games match here.
Yes, I like that idea a lot.
I hate who you're putting with Cody Rhodes, though.
I think that would be the shittiest faction of
WWE.
But
in the
you can't put Orton and Rhodes together.
Oh, you could. You could, actually. You could, especially if Cody Rhodes is going to be going heel. Like, why not have the most dastard? Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton were friends before Randy turned, and Randy was talking. He was talking lessons to Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes may have learned a lesson here, and you know what? We got a line. Because you could also have Randy Orton go against CM Punk for the title before Cody Rhodes gets the big cage match or the big match against CM Punk again.
Well, but you also have the potential of three guys who have towed both sides of the line here in Punk, Drew McIntyre, and Randy Orton, where it's kind of like, yeah, and we all think Cody's kind of a jerk. So maybe we should go after him. And then you have guys within there, you know, you protect Royce as the heater. Aldis can take losses. Saints can take losses. I don't know. I mean, I feel like a Cody heel turn, it's time, because he's been so coy about it the past couple years now. And now is the time where people are kind of turning on him as kind of a, all right, you're the suit wearing jerk kind of. Let's just go with this to the hilt.
I do like the story of Nick Aldis losing his GM spot, losing the match against Gunther, being like, I have nothing. I have no job. I have nothing. I have to align with Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see some of that. Okay, so you're thinking a four horseman beatdown to end
post-match.
WWE SummerSlam Night 1.
Yes, yes.
All right. And then we'll roll into Night 2 of WWE SummerSlam. I know we had the big moment with CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And the big Paul Heyman turn, the big Seth Rollins angle. That did happen on Night 1. They're not afraid to make the big weekend closing angle not the weekend closing angle.
Correct.
Have it on Night 1 instead of Night 2. So we could be in store for a treat. All right. Well, we know what the main event of Night 2 is going to be. It's going to be Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. There's no disputing that. I think 25% there, the odds are that Danhausen and Dominik close out the show. Unlikely, I would say. Unlikely. But also that will not open the show. They're not going to open the show with goofiness like that. The opener of Night 2, kind of an interesting pick. There's a lot to choose from. They're all kind of just their matches. But I think I know what Night 2's opener would be, whether it was on ESPN or not. And that's going to be the Intercontinental Championship, Chad Gable and Penta. Do you disagree?
No. That's interesting, because I thought it might be the women's ladder or Zane Balor, just to start off with kind of like that banger.
Penta and Chad Gable's going to be a banger.
That too.
And it's a title match.
Yeah, the crowd will be fresh, and they want to get that skull clap going for Chad, so maybe.
But I was going to say it also takes a lot of time to set up all the ladders, but God, there's 5 minutes of commercials in between. They can easily set up the ladders for later on in the show. But you're right. A ladder match could potentially open it up.
You've convinced me, because I think it's one of those things to start the night hot. So yeah,
because you're not going to start it off hot with Trick Williams, Baron Corbin.
No.
All right. So let's go with the opener of Penta versus Chad Gable singles match for the Intercontinental title. Again, Chad Gable coming off of a large run where he was bested by the Luchadors. and respects the heritage and no longer is going to be a dick against the Luchadors. So, of course, his first match back is a title match against the Luchadors. Chad Gable, Penta. It's too early to beat Chad Gable. No, and Penta's had this run for a little bit. I'm thinking Chad Gable takes this one.
It's time for Gable to get at least a run with the Intercontinental Championship to see what you have on this after making him lose the thing that made him the most interesting.
Yeah. You could also potentially have Penta go work a little bit more in AAA and then come back. It's not like he has to be on TV on Raw every week as you establish Chad Gable as the Intercontinental Champion. And there's always Ray Fenix going on. So, I would go Chad Gable to win this particular match. And then we have the five-way ladder match for the interim WWE Women's Championship. This is the interim title to eventually go one-on-one, I would think, with Rhea Ripley. Is there going to be a sixth? Are we going to see a sixth competitor added to this match? As the five right now are Tiffany Stratton, who is your U.S. champion, Jade Cargill, Chelsea Green, Charlotte Flair, and then either Julia or Lash Legend. We are taping this before SmackDown. So we have five right now. Could we potentially see a sixth?
Yes, Nia Jax.
Ooh, Nia Jax being added. And if that is the case, you're seeing Lash Legend out of the mix?
I think so. I think they're going to put Julia in this.
Okay. So out of these six, one, we have to think a little bit about, could we have a double champion in Tiffany? Who makes the most sense to go up against Rhea Ripley, potentially? Or does Rhea just switch to the Raw side to go one-on-one with Io and potentially the Liv Morgans and the Stephanie Vaqueras of the world? What do we see happening here with this match?
You're going to hate this ending.
Well, I'm going to hate a lot of this shit, probably, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not all written for me.
I think, do you remember the WrestleMania in Dallas where they had the big ladder match for the Intercontinental title and then what they did on the Monday Night Raw the next night where Zack Ryder won the title and then they immediately jobbed him to The Miz because they were introducing Maurice to come back with Miz and have them win?
Oh, Maurice.
I think Chelsea Green
just for Maurice.
I think Chelsea Green wins this ladder match for like a 4-day title reign or something like that. And they beat her on the next SmackDown or something.
So you don't think they're going to want like, not confusion, or they do comedy per se, but yeah, it's for comedy. It's comedic effect. She could, I mean, you have a lot of big monsters in this match. Charlotte, Lash, potentially Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, the U.S. champion. You got a lot of big names, big monsters in this match. And then just tiny Chelsea Green goes up there and squeaks out this championship, does the biggest Chelsea celebration of all time, has a segment on SmackDown where it's just the Chelsea coronation of the interim championship, and Rhea Ripley comes back that night to short-lived this. Yeah.
Yeah, and who's Chelsea Green's tag team partner right now?
Oh, how about you tell me?
It's Tiffany Stratton. They've been doing things where they've been doing things where it's like, hey, I'm watch your back, and maybe I'll be a champion someday too, and you can watch mine. You could always turn Stratton against Green at some point for that, because I think Tiffany Stratton's better as a heel personally, but they have too many heels right now. You could do a Julia redemption story, but man, it just feels like because of all the crowd reactions she's been getting over and over and over again, they're going to give Chelsea Green a ceremonial thanks for the gold watch title run with the big belt. And maybe, yeah, if Rhea's ready to come back killing her, or a Chelsea Green becomes paranoid as champion and becomes kind of like a faux, you know, she's the beatable champion, so everybody's coming after her type of thing for a few weeks or months.
Okay. I'm going to go Jade Cargill. And I'm not going to explain why, but I'm going to go Jade Cargill.
No, but I bet the baddies show up here.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some baddies influence. I could see them going back to Jade, Rhea Ripley potentially as well. Even if they don't right away, you have Jade winning this interim women's championship, Tiffany Stratton as the U.S. champion and wanting that world title again. You could do, you know, them one-on-one.
I could see Charlotte winning this if the baddies come out and Alexa scare them away or whatever, and then Charlotte goes up and gets it, and then it's...
I can honestly see... You've convinced me on possibility of Chelsea. I don't see Julia or Lash Legend, so it doesn't matter who's in the match out of those two, because I don't see them. And if they add someone else, I don't see the added person. winning this match.
No, I think Nia's there for everybody to go, oh God, no, don't let Nia win this type of a thing.
Yeah. Unless the added person is Rhea Ripley herself. And this becomes a WWE Women's Championship match.
I had that thought because, boy, do they love bringing people back from injury and putting them in a ladder match.
Oh, they love it. Triple H is like, if I could wrestle a whole match with a torn quad, you can wrestle a ladder match when you're healthy.
Yes, that was their move. It's like, hey, you came back from a broken neck or torn sternum or whatever. Let's throw you in that 6-person ladder match at Mania and see if you're really resilient.
If a quarterback is healthy on Thursday and cleared to play, they're playing the whole game and they're playing every snap.
Yeah.
You know, if you're ready to go, you're either ready to go or you're not ready to go. You know, baseball is the only one where it's like, well, he's partially ready. He's good enough to be out there and stand in the outfield. Just don't run too fast.
Right.
Same baseball. I don't know if you know this. This is pro graps.
Let me write that down.
You should write that down. You should memorize it.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Trick Williams, Baron Corbin. This is a United States title match. And it is a match, I would say. It's a match with two wrestlers. It is a match between Trick Williams and Baron Corbin. This is coming from the SmackDown brand. And the storyline in this one is that there's two wrestlers who are going to have a match. And what do you think about Trick Williams versus Baron Corbin?
I don't know what we're doing with Trick Williams. This is like the most
putting him in a match with Baron Corbin.
I know this, but is he supposed to be power guy or work rate guy? Because they can never decide on this.
He's not work rate guy.
Doesn't everything here scream that, not necessarily for the title, but that Baron Corbin has to win the first one to get a rematch eventually, or to have Trick chase? Or do we just squash Baron and we have this Carmelo Hayes thing still hanging around? We have Ilya Dragunov possibly in the wings. But I can't see Trick losing this. But I can't see the logic of Trick winning this. That's my problem. So I'm going to go with Trick Williams because it lacks explanation of any kind.
Barenhausen was right there for them.
Yes!
Instead of what he's doing on these terrible set, Barenhausen was right there. They look the same. Obviously, Baron Corbin can play the part. Because, my God, this guy is an actor. Why didn't they do this to me? Instead, they give me, I believe that you are cursed.
Why? Anthony Towns.
I mean, that was great. I'm telling you. The depth of where they went from Saturday night's main event to two Raws later, I mean, that's a drop because the cat thing was great. Yeah. I mean, he put a stuffed cat in a cloning machine and out came Carl Anthony Towns, Jeff.
Yes.
Tell me that's not good writing. Dare you to tell me that.
No, I love it.
Number one contender for the WWE title. If I asked you 6 months ago, who would be the two names in this match? You'd be like, what the fuck is this? Why? Who are these? What, they're on different shows, first of all. They're not going to be in the title picture anytime soon. Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor for the right to lose on the next Saturday night's main event.
And you are incorrect because they are on the same show because they stealth moved Finn over to SmackDown.
I know they're on the same show now. I'm saying 6 months ago they were not.
You're correct. I'm sorry.
Six months ago, if you would have said these two names are wrestling for the number one contendership to the WWE title, you'd be like, why? But no. It's Sami Zayn and Finn Balor. Finn Balor, yes, they are on SmackDown. Finn Balor's had this on and off again thing with Nakamura and the Tongans. And now I don't know if they're doing a thing anymore between them. Sami Zayn is trying to fight to get back in this title picture. He probably shouldn't have been in to begin with, but it was a cool story for Saudi Arabia. Is there a possibility that both of these men get pinned?
By what? A debuting Big Bill comes in and just...
I know we're not getting them to the Raw after, but...
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a Big Bill. It could be the return of God.
Drew returns
Could be Drew killing them both, and then we have a three-way on some SmackDown.
Here's your Orton comeback, Sammy and Finn. But no, it's Finn. It's
Orton really has... Orton really has worries for why not? Why wouldn't you just let one of them win and challenge the winner on SmackDown? Why would Randy Orton come back during this match? Think about what you're saying, Jeff. Think before you speak.
Well, here's the problem. Is Sammy's the interesting choice because his heel character is kind of cool. And to face a babyface CM Punk, the problem is Finn Balor's an uber babyface. And so we'll get babyface Balor in a matter of respect versus Punk.
Did we pick a winner out of the Baron Corbin match? Who's winning?
Trick.
Okay. So we're going to get babyface Trick. You're thinking we're going to get babyface Finn Balor.
Uh-huh.
You know Danhausen is winning the human bag of money, as we know this, right?
Yes.
You're thinking babyface Chelsea Green.
Tweener Chelsea Green, yeah.
All right. Did you have Chad Gable or Penta? You had Chad Gable.
I had Gable. Babyface, I think this is a night of babyface wins, yeah.
This is what I'm getting at. And okay. They don't always do that.
No.
So I'm
they usually do the opposite. They do all heels Yeah.
I'm a little worried about your picks here. I think you may have came into this night a little unprepared.
I'm willing to say Corbin wins that match just for heat.
Oh, so now you're just flipping because of a little bit of peer pressure, huh?
Look, these are my principles, and if you don't like them, I have others.
My principle was always building. I really like that one.
Okay, yeah.
I really liked building. Your main event of the show, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Roman, I know you wanted to hit that stop button right there, but it's not yet time.
I did not have my hands on the stop, so no.
I had my hands on the human monies on a pole match. Roman Reigns is defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Seth Rollins. The crowd is going to be anti-Seth Rollins. They're going to be pro-Roman Reigns.
Yes.
We have potentially Obafemi looming here. We have potentially some returns, whether it's Drew, whether it's Randy Orton, whether it's anybody. We have the Bloodline. The Bloodline possibly getting involved in this match. Does anyone come to the aid of Seth Rollins? You know who's almost ready to return? Mr. Bronson Reed, a Bronson Reed who never really was involved too much with demeaning and defaming Mr. Seth Rollins. So what says you, Jeff? What do you see happening in the main event of the two-night SummerSlam from Minneapolis? Roman Reigns, Seth frickin' Rollins.
Roman wins. Roman gets a couple more soldiers in Tala Tonga and Tangaloa, Tama Tonga and Tala Tonga.
Tangaloa, gone. Bye-bye.
Oh, Tala Tonga?
No, Tala Tonga is here.
Okay.
Tangaloa.
Yes, Tangaloa is gone. Yes.
Sorry, bro. You out.
Yes, but Tama Tonga is still with us.
Tama Tonga is still here.
Yes.
I don't know how you're getting all these Tongas confused. I don't know, but you are.
Tonga needs to show up, like Dudley.
Zilla Tonga?
Yeah.
Zilla Tonga Fatu?
Yes. I think the Street Profits probably come out to help Seth.
Okay.
Yeah, this is basic rote stuff. Or maybe even LA Knight and Solo come out to help. Or something.
Well, yeah, building this up is like, okay, these two guys are finally getting in the ring again. They have such a big history. And then making this a match between 10 people might be a little rough for me to take.
No, it's not good. They're not going to last long. It's going to be one of those things where it's like cameos and then they're chased
like,
off type of
like that
thing.
5 minutes of the Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match from WrestleMania. Where
yes.
You just take turns getting interference and yes. then they leave it. The final 5 minutes are still them to themselves.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But okay. Man, the way you built this up, it has that little nagging thing in my head where it's like, oh no, I know that the Usos are heels, but Roman's still a babyface, so we need to turn Seth somehow to be a heel. It's like, no,
but
I don't
he already
do
is.
That. Kind of, yeah.
I mean, do you and see what happened on the last three Raws?
Yes.
Seth Rollins is the heel in this match.
It's so weird.
He's the heel in this match. Now, the next night, they could very well turn him babyface back again if he doesn't have anything to do with Roman Reigns.
Yes.
It's a tough pill because, you know, you're talking about Roman Reigns. He's going to go to Royal Rumble and have this big match potentially with The Rock at WrestleMania. Potentially even Jacob Fatu on the card again here. A lot of options for Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but there's nothing interesting about Seth winning this title, so Roman's winning it.
You don't think so? Okay. All right.
No.
Okay. So you have Roman Reigns. I would say Roman Reigns, yeah, there's meat on the bone with the Bloodline, no matter which direction they go. There's still a lot of story to tell there. I'm a little surprised Rollins was in this match to begin with. I mean, I just don't feel like it was it was time for this. And then with the sell job of selling it, like, it's been 4 years. Like, these two have such a big history together. I think he probably could have saved for a little bit later. And the crowd thought so too, because they healed on this match and then they healed on Seth Rollins from the very moment it was a sign. So it's a very interesting main event. It's going on last. I think the match itself will be fun. And I do think that there's going to be a large portion of the crowd that, if it just ends with Roman Reigns winning, are going to be like, oh, there's no Seth bullshit, huh? Because I think people by now expect in big matches some Seth bullshit too.
Some Seth bullshit. Yes, exactly.
They expect it. So we're going to get some bullshit. We're just not going to get that grade A Seth bullshit.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.